From the top of Daf Samach Omed Aleph in Maseches Bofa Basra, we recommend your printing out the Daf before the Shi'ur, and better yet, to order your volume of Bofa Basra from the Shas Ozer Marked Gemara edition. We begin with a quote from the Mishnah. Lokach bayis b'chotzer acheres. If a person purchased a house opening to another chotzer, lo yiftachenu l'chotzer hashutfin. Illustration 492. Illustrates a situation where you have a bayis opening to a chotzer hashutfin. This bayis, which is not featured in the picture of the Pirush Chai Sefer that we are using, a book of illustrations authored by Rav Chaim Porush that accompanies Bofa Basra. However, illustration 490 does indicate the topic that we're looking at right now, where there was a house that had opened to a chotzer acheres, and there's another wall facing a chotzer hashutfin. He's not to open up an entrance to that chotzer hashutfin. The Gemara explains, my time, why is it that he cannot open up his house to the chotzer hashutfin? Mipnei shemarbe aleihem es haderech. The Rashbam, third line from the top, says shemarbe aleihem es haderech sherov bnei adam yoytzin v'nichnosim achshav v'chotzer yoser mibetchila. As a result of his opening the house to a new area, namely the chotzer hashutfin, there are going to be more people in that chotzer hashutfin, increased population. V'lekot snius k'demei kora. It's not as private as it was beforehand. The Gemara continues, Emo Seifa. Let us take a look at the Seifa of the Mishnah, and that's featured in the framed section in our marking system. Tanaic sources, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises, are featured in frames. If it's true that Marbe Aleim Es HaDerech is a reason to prevent his opening the new opening, how are we to deal with the following? The Mishnah says, Elo Im Rotza Boina Es HaCheder Lifnim Mi Beisoi Uboina Aliyo Al Gabi Beisoi. A person can add a room and add another facility to his house, whether it be located inner more pnimi, or on top of his house, and the assumption being that these new structures that he adds onto his house, he'll be able to rent to other people. And the Gemara points out, "V'halo marbe aleihen, marbe olav es haderech." The Rashbam, on the fourth line from the top, "V'halo marbe aleihen es haderech, bebinyan aliyah zu, shelo ha'isos shom koydem lochein," with his adding a second story to his house, there are now more people than were there before. "V'hu machnis l'tocha diurin levad diurin shebebeiso," he can have new dwellers living in the second story, people that weren't there beforehand. Afapi shekula nichnasin v'yotzin derech Pesach Beso, even though they're all going to be going in and out through the main entrance to his house. Hare nisrabu nichnasin v'yotzin bechotzer. Now there are more people in the chotzer, and that's all right. So how are we to resolve the reisha with the Seifa? The Reisha where it said lo yiftachenu lechotzer shufin was preventing increase population in the chotzer, and here we seem to be allowing that. So the Gemara answers, Rav Huna answers, that the idea of bone chod cheder and bone aliyah are not like we thought, totally new structures, but rather Omar Rav Huna my cheder. Illustration 493, Shecholkoi Lishnayim. He simply had a large room. He split into two. There was no additional structure added. Umay Aliyah. Illustration 494. Aftoi. Imagine he had a tall ceiling room. You're able to build a floor halfway up your wall, splitting the height into two heights, two rooms, one on top of the other, both affording living space. The point being, he did not add to the outer structure whatsoever. As far as the heter that's concerned over here, the Rashbam points out that since there's no building addition, it's just a function of using the same house as he had before. A person is allowed to have to host in his house as many people as he likes. And the whole objection of Marbe Alein Maderech arises from the fact that one's adding a new structure to the outer walls. However, if one's not adding to the original structure, then it's a function of just having as many people in your house as you would like. That is allowed. We continue with the Mishnah. Before we proceed with the Mishnah, we're going to take a look at the topic heading, which touches on a couple of points in the Mishnah. It's in the outside margin. In our Shas Ozer pre-mark Gemara edition, we try to offer topic headings and structural notes. Topic headings known as Nosei, structural notes known as Mivneh. Here, the second Nosei that you find on the page, point one, Ein Lahagdil Goydel Hachalon. One is not allowed to increase the size of his window. Number two, Ein Laharbos B'mispar Hachalonos. Likewise, one is not allowed to increase the number of Chalonos. These halachas, of course, are one should not do these things on his own. If, however, there's communal agreement, then that's, of course, all right. The Mishnah, Lo yiftach odom l'chotzer hashutfin, Pesach keneged Pesach, v'chalon keneged chalon. If a person has a house opening to a chotzer, and one of the neighbors has a pre-existing doorway, so you're not allowed to open a doorway that's opposite his doorway. And likewise, windows should not be opposite one another. Hoya koton lo yasenu godol. Illustration 498 in the Pirush Chai points this out, illustrates this. And illustration 499, echod lo yasenu shnayim. The details of these halachas will be discussed later in the Gemara. If a person had one door, he's not allowed to make two. Avol poseachu lirshus rabim, Pesach keneged Pesach v'chalon keneged chalon. In contrast to the Reisha, which said not to have Pesach keneged Pesach, in the Seifa, since we're dealing with a rishus rabim, that is allowed. Hoya koton, oiso oso godol. The echod, oiso oso shnayim. Regarding the halacha of not having Pesach keneged Pesach and Chalon keneged Chalon in a chotzer situation, Gemara wants to know, what's the source of that? Minohani mili. What's the basis? Omar Rav Yochanan, the Omar Kro, Vayisa Bilom es Einov, Vayar es Yisrael Shochein Lishvotov. Pasuk describes Bilom HaRosha, who noticed how the Jews were dwelling in their desert encampment. Ma Ra'a, what was it that drew Bilom's attention? Ra'a She'ein Pischei Oleim Mechuvonim Ze Loze. He noticed that the openings of their tents were not opposite one another. In other words, when looking out your doorway, you would not be looking directly into the neighbor's dwelling. Omar, Bilam says, Ru'uyin halolu shetashre aleim shechina. The Rashbam points out from the fact that Bilam said, Ma toivu ohalecha, how wonderful are your tents. It is this that Bilam was noticing, how they dwell in modesty, privacy. As a result of modesty, tznius is the vehicle through which one can achieve divine dwelling. That's the divine spirit, Hashroas Shechina. Continuing, Hoya Koton Lo Yasenu Godol. We have a marking, and this double underline is in order to draw our attention to the fact that Rami Bar Choma has a certain idea, a certain Havamina, and it appears here and appears in the next section of Gemara as well. We're also going to notice Rava appearing likewise twice, and we've featured him in a house form to draw out the repetitive nature. The Mishnah said that if there was a small opening, one cannot make it large. Sovar Rami Bar Chamo Lememar. His first thought was, Bar Dalid, if you have a doorway measuring 4, Lo Leshavye Bar Tamni, not to break it open to measure 8. Why? Because Shokil Tamne Bechotzer. The halachas that are mentioned here were really discussed toward the beginning of the Masechet, and they involved the allowance of 4x4 amas opposite every doorway. The measure of 4x4 amas is actually a minimum amount, and that's for the purpose of loading and unloading one's animals. If one had a doorway of 4 amas, so he would have 4 amas that would run the width of the doorway, and also 4 amas extended into the depth of the chotzer, measuring 4x4 amas. If, however, he's going to make the four amma doorway wide 8 amas, so he would then theoretically be entitled to an area of 4x8 amas, 4 amas of depth of floor space into the chotzer, opposite the entire 8 amas of the width of his doorway. So naturally, if the doorway was small, he's going to now be consuming or using more of the chotzer for himself, that being considered private property in the chotzer ashufin, in the jointly held chotzer, being his entitlement. If that be a proper consideration in understanding the prohibition of the Mishnah, then it would follow as it would follow avol, the Gemara says, bar tarti l'shavye bar abo shapir domi. If, however, a person had a 2 amma wide doorway, As such, a 2-amma wide doorway is entitled to the minimum 4x4. Even though it's a rather narrow doorway, it's entitled to 4x4. That being the case, you ought to be allowed to widen the 2-amma doorway to be 4 ammas wide. If it's 4 ammas wide, how much is he going to be getting in the chotzer? The same 4x4 ammas. So if the consideration of the Mishnah is simply encroachment on jointly held property, converting into privately held property, doorway property, this should be allowed, going from 2 to 4, because you're not increasing the area of doorway entitlement. Amarle Rava. Rava disagrees and says that the 2-amma wide doorway would not be allowed to be widened to 4. Motzi Amarle, the other partner in the chotzer, in the courtyard, could say to this fellow who wants to widen, Bepischa Zutra Motzina Litzdenu Yiminach, when you had a narrow doorway, a 2-amma wide doorway, so you didn't have much of a opportunity, much scope through which to look into the chotzer, and I could do things that I prefer privacy while doing them. Bepischa Rabba Lo Motzina Litzdenu Yiminach, but with a widened doorway, it's going to be more difficult for me to practice privacy from you. So, whereas Rami Bar Chama thought it was a real estate consideration, Rava says, no, it's a privacy consideration. So therefore, any widening would be problematic. Echad lo yasenu shnayim. The Mishnah tells us that if he had one doorway, he's not allowed to make two. Sovar Rami Bar Chama lemeimar. Once again, we're going to see Rami Bar Chama assuming the pshat in the Mishnah has to do with real estate consideration. And we'll again notice Rava saying it's not real estate consideration, but rather privacy consideration. With the markings, it's very easy to see what's happening. Rami Bar Chama introducing his point of view, and then Rava clarifying otherwise. So as far as increasing the number of doorways which the Mishnah prevented, Sova Rami Bar Chama Lemeimar, Bar Arboi Lo Leshavye Trei Bnei Tarti Tarti. We can take advantage of illustration 499, and at this point look at the details. We had referenced this diagram in the Mishnah, but at that point it would not have been advisable to study the details. Here, though, we notice that if there was a doorway of 4 ammas, Rami Bar Chama thinks that one doorway of 4 ammas is not allowed to make it into 2 separate doorways, each one of 2 ammas. Why is that? Because shokil tamli b'chotzer. Because by making 2 doorways, albeit 2 smaller ones, he nevertheless is going to be getting more area in the chotzer. Now, let's explain that. With a 4-amma wide doorway, how much space was he entitled to in the chotzer for loading and unloading? A space measuring 4x4. A singular doorway of 2 ammas wide, how much is he entitled to? We mentioned before that there's an automatic entitlement of 4x4. So if he has 2 doorways, each one measuring 2, he in effect is going to be having an area measuring 8x4. In other words, he'll be entitled to twice as much area. So that's the idea that Rami Bar Chama figures, not allowed to go from a singular 4 to 2 doorways of 2. Real estate. That's the consideration. Avol, following that line of thinking, it would stand to reason, bar tamni, if a person had an 8-amma wide doorway, illustration 500, An 8 amma wide doorway entitles a person to 8 by 4. 8 ammas running along the length of his, the width of his doorway, and 4 ammas into the depth of the chotzer. That's 8 by 4. If that be the case, then l'shavyei b'nei arboi arboi shapir domi, to make that into two separate 4 amma wide doorways, that would be okay, because the area granted to two 4 amma wide doorways, each one 4 by 4, together 8 by 4. In other words, he's not getting any more property in the jointly held chotzer to be private doorway area. Omar le Rava. Rava responds, I don't like increased number of doorways under any circumstances. Motzi omar le, b'chad pischa motzina itzenui minoch. When you had one doorway, I could practice privacy when your door was open, so I'd have to be matznia myself. When the doorway's closed, it's closed. I don't have to worry about anything else. The singular doorway that you have there is closed. However, betray lo motzina itzenui minoch, when you have two doorways, so I always have to keep my eye out for the other one. When one doorway is closed, that doesn't mean I now have a green light to practice privacy. I still have to be concerned with the other door. It's a greater burden on me, and I hence object. Once again, no consideration fi rova as far as real estate doorway real estate concerns. The Gemara continues, Aval poseach huli rishus harabim, Pesach keneged Pesach. The idea of having domiciles on opposite sides of a rishus harabim being open to one another is allowed. Open mean facing one another, that's okay. The omar lei, sof sof ha bois itztanui mibnei rishus harabim. I can open my doorway opposite your doorway, and you cannot say that I'm infringing on your privacy, because you have to watch yourself anyway from the passers-by. Before we continue with our Mishnah, let's take a look at our note of introduction, the Nosei Machlokes Tanoim Be'inyan Asiyas Chalal Tachas Rishus Harabim. This is a topic that was mentioned earlier in the Masichta, but for those of us who are learning this for the first time, the Mishnah deals with making a tunnel or a digging underneath a public thoroughfare. The Mishnah starts, Ein oisin halal tachas rishus harabim. One cannot excavate underneath rishus harabim. Boros shichin umoros. Different forms of digging, different types of pits. Rabbi Lezer Matir, Kidei Shitei Agola Mehaleches Uteuna Avonim. Rabbi Lezer says that it's allowed to excavate underneath the Rishus Rabbim, provided that after the excavation, the Rishus Rabbim is sufficiently strong to sustain the weight of a cart full of stones being drawn over that excavation and not caving in. For the continuation of the Mishnah, we refer back to illustration 368. Ein motzien zizin ugezustrois l'rishus harabim. One is not allowed to set up protrusions, poles and platforms, balconies into the Rishus Harabim. Ela im rotza, illustration 369 of the Pirush Chai Sefer, book of illustrations that accompanies Bava Basra. If, however, a person wants, he can do the following. Koines l'soich shelo umotzi. He can build his house on his property set off of the Rishus Harabim, namely, between his house and the formal Rishus Harabim, is his own property. We'll call it a front yard. Instead of what the ratio suggested, that if a person's front wall borders literally on the Rishus Rabbim, at that point one's not allowed to extend balconies and protrusions over the Rishus Rabbim. One, in the Sefer, this section of the Mishnah says that you can build your house set off of the Rishus Rabbim, extend a balcony. The balcony right now is not protruding over the Rishus Rabbim. It's protruding over your front lawn. Lokach chotzer ubo zizin ugzistros. If a person bought a house and it has balconies and poles extending outside the house, harei zu b'cheskosa, he is allowed to maintain those protrusions as they are, assuming that the previous owner, when building the house, had built the house in the permissible fashion, had set it off of the Rishus Rabbim, and the area that's under these balconies right now is an area that was once privately owned property. This the Rashbam explains. Harezu b'cheskosa, d'ta'aninan l'lokeach, the Beis Din intervenes on behalf of the purchaser, the Omrim, and Beis Din says, Eimar koines l'soch shelo hoya, that the original owner had been one who built his house set off of the Rishus Rabbim. Avol hamochra lo shehotzi hazizin hu hoya tzorech lohavi edim shekines letoch shelo. However, the original fellow who built the house, he would have to provide proof that he made these protrusions legally. Oh, shiyiton shnei chazoki echzakti v'kinasti letoch sheli. Or he could possibly claim, I had these protrusions already for 3 years after I had built, set it off the Rishus Rabbim. Tavi lo chazoka shiyeshi motayna. Avo lo keach, a purchaser, lo tzorech lemitan midi. He doesn't have to offer explanations. Ella, kach lekachti, all he has to say is, I bought it thusly. I bought it prepared like this. Bein tzorech liton hechotzi hamochers azizim lechutz Rishus Rabbim. He doesn't have to explain how the seller constructed it this way. The to'anin liyoresh v'to'anin lokech is a principle we've seen in the past that we intervene on behalf of purchasers and on behalf of heirs as well. The Gemara. The issue of excavating under the Rishus Rabbim, we saw Rabbi Elazar allow excavation provided a cart carrying stones, rather a heavy vehicle could travel over it and without fear of caving in. The Rabbanan, though, don't accept that standard. In other words, they're more restrictive. The Gemara points out, V'Rabbanan, why are they more machmir? Zimnin de mifchis v'lav adaita. They're fearful that there could be erosion causing caving in without people being aware, without awareness. In other words, in the course of time, the thickness of the roadway over the excavation becomes eroded and people aren't paying attention. And there's what to be worried about. Hence, they forbid all excavation. Ein motzien zizin uzistros. We notice some geometric forms, and this draws our attention to the question of why are they here? In our marked edition, the Shas Ozer, that many of you are viewing on your screen right now, we offer explanations on the side as to what the topic and the role of the markings are. The Mivne marking deals with structural considerations. We see on the page the appearance of a bow tie symbol, and we're also going to notice a double underline with dots in it, also a series marking. All geometric forms in our marking system indicate a series of something or something of a repetitive nature. In this case, the bowtie marking features two Rabbonin, Rabbi Ami, and a few lines later, Rabbi Yanai. The double underline we have written in, Hahu Gavro, a certain individual, Shematzavo, that his situation, Hayadoyme L'shel HaRabbonim, that this Hahu Gavro had a situation similar to that of the Rabbonin. We've also featured with a volcano shape two words on this page. You can see Ziza and later on Elon. The marking note on the side, the key on the side, says under the volcano shape, Ziz v'Elon, Matarat Hasimonim b'shnei Maisim Halolo, the purpose of the simonim, of the simunim, the markings, in these two incidents, he lehavlit hadimyon b'mivne. It's to draw out the similarity in structure. Afilu hachi yesh litzayin. Nevertheless, we have to point out shebemaisa harishon harav Rabbi Ami lo hoya b'matzav bayati. Rabbi Ami in the first incident was not in a problematic position. Masha'enkein matzavo sherabbi Yanai b'maisa sheni, as opposed to Rabbi Yanai's predicament, his situation will be problematic, as will be explained in the Gemara. Rabbi Ami havile ziza, davinofik limevua. Rabbi Ami had a protrusion from his house that was sticking out into a mavui, an alleyway. An alleyway is a place that is semi-public. However, it can be said to be an owned area, owned by the people that lived off of it, lived set off of the mavui. Vahu gavra nami havele ziza davi mapik lirishus harabim. There was another fellow that had protrusions. His protrusions, however, were protruding to a rishus harabim. Notice what we've done with the markings. We've used this diagonal dashed line under the word Mavui and Rishus HaRabim. The Mavui was characteristic of Rav Ami's situation. The Rishus HaRabim was characteristic of the Hahu Gavra situation. Also the Kameid Rav Ami, the case of Hahu Gavra, of that fellow who had a protrusion over the Rishus HaRabim, case came to Rav Ami. Amalei Zilkotz, Rav Ami ruled that you have to remove your protrusion. Amalei, so the person who was instructed to remove the protrusion, says to the rabbi, V'ha mor nami is lei. Hey, you also have a protrusion coming forth from your house over a public area. Amalei, Rav Ami answered, Didi lemevua mapik. Mine is protruding over a movui, an alleyway. Bnei mevua machlin gaboy. The members of the alleyway are forgiving to me. They are allowing me. Didcha lirshus harabim mapik. However, yours protrudes over a totally public area. Man mochil gaboch. Who is it that's mochel, that's forgiving to you? When you deal with the public is made up of the entire passing population. So that even though you think that some of the people there are allowing you, you can't possibly say they're all allowing. You don't know all the people going by there. Rabbi Yanai, havile ilon hanoite l'rishus harabim. Rabbi Yanai owned a tree that was growing on his property, but its branches were sticking out into the Rishus HaRabim. Havi hahu gavro davi leinami ilon hanoite l'Rishus HaRabim. This other fellow had a tree, similarly branches facing, protruding into the Rishus HaRabim. Osu b'nei Rishus HaRabim havu koma akvi ole. The public came and complained regarding this fellow's branches. They're preventing camels and their riders, which is a standard of height under which tree branches should not protrude. They're interfering with camel riders passing by that area. Also, the kamed rabbiane, the case came to rabbiane. In other words, the case of Hahu Gavra, that fellow, and with his tree problem, came to rabbiane. Omar le, rabbiane told the man, zilo idna v'tolo mochar, go today and come back tomorrow. Balelio, that evening, shodar katsye lahu dide, rabbiane sent messengers to remove the branches of his own tree that were protruding over the Rishus HaRabin. L'mochar also l'kamei, the next day, that fellow came back to rabbiane. Amalei, rabbiane said to the man, zil kotz, remove your branches. Amalei, so the fellow says, ha mar nami islei, but you've got the same situation. Amalei, so rabbiane said, zil chazi, go and look. Go and behold, e koitz didi koitz didach. If my branches have been removed, so you remove your branches. E lo koitz didi. If my branches are still there, lo tokutz at. So then you don't have to remove your branches. Naturally, the man saw that Ravyanai's branches were already removed. The Gemara wants to know, though, why is it that Ravyanai initially allowed the branches to grow over the Rishus HaRabin? And then what caused his change in thinking? The Gemara explains, Meikara, at first, that which Rabbiane allowed branches to overshadow, to extend, protrude over the Rishus HaRabin, Mai Sovar, what was he holding? Ula Basof, and when he actually had them removed, Mai Sovar. The Gemara answers, Meikara savar nicholahu b'nei Rishus HaRabin diyasvi betula betulei. At first, he thought that the public actually would enjoy sitting betulei in the shade cast by the tree branches. However, kevon dechaza dekama akvi, when he understood that the public was upset, but they never complained to Rabbiane himself because of honor that they were extending to him, feeling, after all, he's a great man, maybe it's not fitting for us to complain against him. Once he realized that, Shadar Katsye, he sent for his branches to be cut. The Gemara asks a technical question, V'leimo le, let Rabbiane say to the man, Zil kotz didach, v'hadar al kotz didi. First, you cut down your branches, and then I'll cut down my branches. Why is it that Rabbiane schemed to have his branches removed first? The Gemara answers, Mishum de Reish Lakish, based on a principle made famous by Reish Lakish, the Omar, based on a pasuk, his koshishu v'koshu. He darshans, he expounds, Kshot atzmecha v'achacha kshot achirim. First, literally, decorate yourself, and then decorate others. More practically speaking, if something needs to be fixed and one himself suffers from the same problem, first straighten yourself out, and then attempt to straighten others. The Gemara continues. The quote from the Mishnah, Avolim rotza, if a person is interested in having protrusions extending from his house, he can't have them extending over Rishus HaRabim. However, koines l'soch shelo, he can build his house set in to his own property, umotzi, and then have the branches, have the protrusions extending henceforth. Ibaya l'ho. Kines, person withdrew into his property, built a house, v'lo hotzi, and he didn't build a balcony or some protrusion, ma'u shiyachzor v'yotzi. Can he later on add some type of protrusion? Or do we say that he was foregoing, he was mevater to the B'nai Rishus HaRabim, and lost his rights to have these extensions. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. In the upper part of the page, first narrow line, Ibayalo kines l'toch shelo v'lo hotzi achshav zizim. He built into his property a house and didn't extend the balcony. Mahu shiyachzor v'yotzi lachar zman. Can he, at a later time, have extensions protruding from his house? Mi aminon de vitro l'bnei rishus harabim v'ibeid koichoi olo. Do we say that he was forgiving of his rights to the B'nai Rosh Hashanah, or no, he retains his rights? Before we go on, we notice in our Gemara markings, a Roman numeral 1, and a few lines later a 2. We glance at the side, notice the heading Nosei Mivneh, the topic and the structural note. The 1 and 2 are Shnei Girsos, two versions, B'machlokis Rabbi Reish Lokish Rabbi Yochanan, B'mikre Sha'odam Kines, where a person withdrew and built his house, set in. Ma'heim Zechuyosov Bahem Shech. What are his rights with regard to the future? Number one, kines v'lo hotzi gezustra, mahu lachzor lahotzi. And case number two, kines, let's say a person built his structure, set off the Rishus Rabim, mahu lachzir haksolim lemakoman. Can he, at a later point, rebuild his structure, flush up with the Rishus Rabim? The Gemara had asked its question. If he was machnis, can he, and did not build immediately the protrusions, can he at a later date extend something from his house? The Gemara goes on, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kines motzi, that he retains the rights to erect protrusions later on. For Reish Lakish Omar, kines eino motzi, that once he withdrew into his property and did not build protrusions immediately, he thereby foregoes his right to build them at a later date. Amalei Rav Yankiv, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Tachlifa, Asbaro loch, I want to explain to you, Lahotzi kulei amalo pligi de motzi. As far as my understanding is concerned, I believe everyone would agree that a person retains the right. Once he built his house, set off the Rishus Rabim, he always retains his right to build extensions, balconies and protrusions and poles over the area that was once his. Ki pligi, the machlokes, if there is any machlokes, it's lahachzir ksolim lemakoyman. It's to rebuild the house that he had now set off the Rishus Rabim, to rebuild it, flush up with the Rishus Rabim. V'ipcha itmar. And as we'll see, they take opposite stances from what we saw before. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, eino machzir. This is as opposed to the first version where we saw Rabbi Yochanan being mekil, allowing subsequent extension. Here, in this version, Rabbi Yochanan is not allowing the rebuilding of the house up along the Rishus Rabim once he set it off originally. Reish Lakish Amar Machzir. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Machzir. Why not? Why can't he rebuild at a later date his walls right up to the Rishus Rabim? Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, based on his teaching, another point that we've seen in the past, the Amar of Yehuda, Meitzar Shechziku Bo Rabim Osir Lekalkalo. Literally, a border that's been used by the public, the owner of that, Meitzar of that border, cannot mekalkalo, cannot alter it, change it, prevent the public from using it. So too, what has happened, when the person originally set his house off the Rishus Rabim, the public that was traveling Rishus Rabim overflowed or encroached on this person's property, became absorbed into, so to speak, the public thoroughfare. And as such, one cannot change that status at a later time. Reish Lakish Amar Machzir, that one is allowed to rebuild his walls up along the Shusarabim. Ah, what about the area that the public has been benefiting from since? Hani Mili, the principle of Rav Yehuda, that one's not allowed to distort or alter the area occupied by the public. That is true. Hani Mili Hecho Deleko Revocha. That's where there isn't sufficient space for them. Hocha Ha'ika Revocha. However, over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about restoring walls to the edge of a Rishus Rabbim. But the Rishus Rabbim itself that was there from time immemorial was itself a wide area, a sufficient area for the public. That fact that he set his house off increasing the area, that's already dessert, so to speak. That's an extra. Therefore, he would be allowed to rebuild his house walls set up along the Rishus Rabbim, not causing them any real loss. Loka chotzer ubog zizin uzstros harehi bechezkosa. We already saw the Rashbam on the Mishnah that explained that a purchaser, if he purchases a house with protrusions coming forth from it, though they appear to be protruding into the Rishus Rabbim, it probably was a situation where the seller had set his house off the Rishus HaRabim directly and built it set into his own property. And therefore the purchaser, the lokeach, we say it's bechezkosa. He's allowed to continue using while we are making that assumption. Omar Rav Huna, nafla choyzer uboine oisa. If the structure falls down with its protrusions, he's allowed to rebuild it and extend protrusions like was there beforehand. That's Rav Huna's din. Meisvei, let's see a question. Question based on a Tanaic source. By using the markings, we will be able to immediately see what the problem is. Glancing at the end of the source, you'll notice a dashed underlined section. It says there, Eino Choser Ubone Osa. That is contrasted with what we've dashed underlined here, Choser Ubone Osa. What does it say? Meisvei, we raise a question from a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source is framed. That is the method that we use in the marking system to indicate all Tanaic sources, whether they be Mishnayos or Brisos. The Tanaic source says, Ein Mesaidin, the Ein Mekairin, the Ein Mefaichin, Bizman Hazeh. These are things that are a result of Churban Habayis, Avelus over the Beis HaMikdash. One should not Mesayed, the Rashbam explains, Ein Mesayed in Bayis, Mishum Evil Beis HaMikdash, Ve'ein Mekairin, the Rashbam explains, Tsuros, Shetzor, Betzid. In fact, we've seen these expressions earlier in the Masechet Kiyur. We saw this in context of making a kinyan on Nichsei Hager. And he explains these are different decorations that one carves out in the Sid that he applies to the walls. V'yesh meforshin dahinu nami siyud elosha kiyur lovon yoiser. Another opinion on Mekairin is it's a form of whitewash that happens to be whiter than standard siyud. Mefaichin, the Rashbam says, tsuros shalmine tzivoinim, different colorful forms. So the halachir is telling us that as a result of avelus of the Beis HaMikdash, we should not do practice these things. If a person bought a chotzer with these things already there, it can remain thusly. He doesn't have to rub them out. Nafla, if however the structure fell down. Eino chozer ubone osa. The Rashbam says, Nofla eino chozer v'chule. Alma kol binyan she'eino rashoi la'asois b'tchila. Any structure that one's not allowed to do initially, im hoya lo, if he had such a thing, v'nofal, and it fell down, eino chozer ubone. He's not allowed to rebuild then. V'gabi hoitzoa zizin l'shus rabim nami, kevon di'i efshel ahotzi b'tchila, since it's not allowed to initially make protrusions over a reshus harabim, im nofal eino chozer umotzi, if the structure fell down, he's not allowed to have them restored to the original state. The Gemara, after raising this difficulty, where we saw before chozer ubono osa, here we see eino chozer ubono osa, the Gemara says isura shiny. The way we view, the way we deal with issues of isur veheter, of things that are of a religious or ritual nature, we treat differently than things that are of a financial or of a tort nature. There's the realm of isur versus the realm of momenus. So in the realm of isur, we machmir. In the realm of momenus, we are mekil. Tana Rabbanan. We noticed before this Tana Rabbanan a slash, indicating that we're going to be starting a new thought. Before we proceed with that, let's glance at the Nosei topic heading. Point one, Zecher L'Churban, things that we do, that we practice as a result of commemorating the temple destruction. Number two, Hatsoas HaPrushim, the suggestion advanced by those that practice excessive piety. Shaloi Lecho Bosar V'Shalolishtos Yayin Acharei HaChurban. Their feeling was that as a result of the disappearance of korbanos and of nesachim, animal offerings and wine offerings, it's not right for us to consume these things bizman hazeh. That being their recommendation. As we go on in the source, we're going to notice some geometric forms, some series markings. The double underline, also one of those series markings, are featured here under the Mivneh heading, Hatsa'ot, the suggestion to Rabbi Yoshua LaPrushim in his response to those excessively pious ones, L'shitaschem, according to you, Lo, Nochal, etc. All of these items are double underlined that we should not consume, and if you glance at them, you'll see not consume bread, fruits, water, because all of those things also had roles in the Beis HaMikdash. Toward the end of the source, the latter half of the source, we notice some diamonds appear. Those are also explained. Dvorim sheyesh lema'et bohen mishum zecher l'churban. Things that we should, in fact, minimize as a result of the temple destruction. With all of that introduction in place, we will proceed with the source. Tana Rabbanan, kishechorav abayis v'shnia, rovu prushim v'yisrael, shelo lechol bosor v'shelo lishtos yayin. With the temple destruction, before we go any further, it's necessary to back up a few lines just so that we don't skip the unread material. The first wide line of the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Lo Yosud Adam Esbeso Besid. The person should not apply sid material to the walls of his house. This is material that be the equivalent of whitewash, making the walls a bright white color. The imirev boi choil o teven mutar. If, however, a person mixed in to the material some sand or dirt, this will reduce the light, the white characteristic, and chol or tevin, straw, and as a result of it reducing the whiteness, it's allowed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, irev bo chol, hare ze traksid ve'osur. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with regard to the issue of the chol, that even though it might reduce the whiteness level, it nevertheless adds to the quality of the material. It makes it into traksid. The Rashbam says, binyan chazok v'toiv v'yafapi shemashchu k'tzas osur. It increases its strength, the strength of the material, and that improvement is reason for us to forbid its use, even though there is a darkening effect. However, tevin mutar. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with regard to the addition of tevin to the sid, that is allowed. Then the sid would be allowed. Tana Rabbanan, kishecholav habayis b'shnia, ravu prushin b'Yisrael, shalolech obosar v'shalolish dosyayin. At the point of the destruction of the second temple, there seemed there was an increase in prushim, pious ones, who suggested not to eat meat, and likewise not to drink wine. Nitpal lohem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua met up with them. Omar lohem bonai mipnei ma I atem oichlin boser v'ein atem shoysin yain. Why is it that you have withdrawn from consuming meat and drinking wine? Omru lo. So the Prushim said back, and here it's important to use the correct intonation in reading the Gemara. Noichal bosor, should we consume meat? Shemimenu makrivin agabi mizbeach v'achshav botel, that they used to offer sacrifices on the altar and now is no longer. Nishte yayin shemenaschin agabi hamizbeach v'achshav botel, should we drink wine that they used to offer wine offerings on the altar and now no longer? Amar lahen, Rabbi Yeshua says back, Im Kain, if your thinking is legitimate, then lechem lo nochal shekvar botlu menochas. So then we ought not to eat bread. Lechem being represented in the Beis Hamikdash by the menochas offerings, known commonly as meal offerings, but most of them were baked into loaves, similar to bread. So they said back, well, you know what? We'll stop eating the bread. Efshir b'peros. We'll be able to subsist on fruit. So he says back, Rabbi Yeshua says back, peros lo nochal. We can't accept your suggestion because shekvar botlu bikurim. There was a fruit offering. First fruits were brought and placed next to the mizbeach, and then presented to the Kohanim. That is something done only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So they said, Efshir b'peros acherim. Bikurim were brought from the seven species Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. We can subsist on oranges, grapefruits, apples. Those are varieties of fruits that were not part of the Bikurim. Fine. The rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua, asks, according to your reasoning, mayim lo nishteh, shekvar botel nisuch hamayim. We shouldn't drink water, because there no longer is the water offering, water libations that were characteristic of the Sukkot holiday time. Well, upon hearing that suggestion, shosku, they remain silent. They had no response. In other words, life would be extremely difficult if we would not consume water. Omar lohen. So Rabbi Yeshua said, Bonai, bo'u v'omar lochem. Come, I'll tell you something. Shelo lis'abel kol ikur. Notice how we read that phrase together in one reading, without pausing. We have used a phrase marking. The singular quotation marks around those words indicate read it together. So again, Shalolis abel kol ikur, as far as not showing signs of mourning and grief over the Churban, that's e efshar. Shikvar nigzira gzera. The Rashbam says Shekvar Nigzru Gzera Churban. We've already become victim of Churban, of destruction. V'nis Chayavnu L'Sabel, and we've been obligated to express mourning and grief over that. D'chtiv Sisu Ato Masois Kolamis Ablam Aleo. That there's an Kolamis Ablam Aleo. There's a reference to all those who are in mourning over it. So we see that we're cautioned to mourn over the Churban Abayis. Continuing in the source, Ulis Abel Yosir Midai, and to express too much mourning, E. Efsher, that's also not acceptable. In other words, adopting what you fellows were suggesting, which would have been Avelus Yosir Midai, that's not reasonable. Shein Gozerin Gzera Al Hatzibor Elim Kein Roiv Tzibor Yecholim Lam Al Ba. We don't impose rulings and restrictions on the public unless the majority of the public are able to endure them. Dechtiv B'me'eru Atem Ne'orim V'oisi Atem Kovim Hagoy Kulo. Based on the expression Hagoy Kulo, we learn that only if the rove of the population is able to endure it, do we practice such practices. Elo kach omru chachomim. Sod odom es beso besid. Person can apply sid to his house. Umishayer bo dovor muad. And leave a small section that's left without the whitewash. The brackets that we see in the marked edition that you see on your screen, these are explanations that the Gemara inserts as we go along. That having been said, we'll be able to read the Gemara straight and not skip these bracketed sections. The source had said that one leaves a small amount without sid. V'kamo, how much? Omer of Yosef, amo al amo. That's the dimension. Omer Rav Chista, keneged ha-pesach. The area left unwhitewashed should be opposite the entrance. In other words, in a visible and a prominent location. We've indicated with the double star that this concept of keneged ha-pesach was mentioned in an unrelated Gemara earlier on Daf Nun Gimel on the base. Continuing. Oysa Adam called Sorche Suda, Umishayer Dover Muat. With regard to practice preparing of meals, even in that, we have something that we practice of Zechel Lechurban nature, Avelus nature, by preparing a meal, but leave out, if you're preparing a banquet, leave out a small item. Maihi, what might that be, that small item? Omar Rav Papa Koso Deharsina. Rashbam explains Ka'oros Shel Maichol Dogim Mitugonim B'Shemen B'Soles. It seems to be a dish of fried fish, fried with a flour batter coating. Likewise, Oisa Isha Kol Tachshiteha U'Meshayeres Dovar Muad. A woman, when adorning herself with different cosmetics, she can use all the normal cosmetic treatment, but leave out one. Mahi, what's that? What's the one thing she doesn't do? Omar Rav, Bas Tzid'o. The Rashbam explains with a foreign word. He opens up and he says, Shirigilus losud sham. It seems to be a depilatory that was applied to the sides of her head to remove extra hairs. Shene'emar. Notice that we've written in to our marked Gemara edition Akulhu Koi. This Shene'emar, we're bringing a pasuk that doesn't go on the last point, but it goes on all of what has been said above. Im eshkochech Yerushalayim, tishkach yimini, tidbak l'shoini l'chiki. The star draws you to the continuation of the pasuk on the outside. Im lo es kirechi, im lo ale es Yerushalayim al roish simchasi. The substance of this pasuk is that even during festive times, one is not to forget Yerushalayim and the Churban. Hence we see the necessity of reducing our levels of festivity in many different aspects of life, whether it be building a new house, setting up a banquet, or women getting themselves, beautifying themselves. Since we read the continuation of the pasuk, which isn't printed in the Gemara text itself, we are able to appreciate the section that continues in the source that happens to be in brackets, my al rosh simchasi. That was in the continuation of the pasuk. What is that a reference to? Amar Rav Yitzchok, ze efer makle she berosh chasanim. This is the practice of placing ashes on the head of grooms at their wedding. Amar le Rav Papa Labaye, hecha monach le, where on the head are the ashes to be placed? He answers, b'mokom tefillin. He'll ask, what's the relationship between the spot on the head that usually hosts the tefillin and the placing of the ashes over there? Shenemar, lasum la'avele tzion, losseis lahem pe'er tachas efer. Pe'er is literally glory, but it's a reference to the tefillin. The Rashbam explains how you get from pe'er to tefillin. And you notice that pe'er, tachas efer, that where the pe'er goes, that's where the ash would go. V'chol hamis'abil ayushalayim zoche v'roye b'simchosa. And all those who practice mourning over Yerushalayim are also those who benefit in seeing the joy of Yerushalayim. Shenemar, simchu es Yerushalayim. And the hemshich of that pasuk has to do with all those that are misabil aleha. Tanya. We have a source, and in the source we've also employed a geometric form. We notice the mivneh notation on the side, miyom she. These are references to different tkufos, Koshel Shalom Yisrael, different difficult times that Klal Yisrael suffered from. Omar Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Miyoim Shechorav Beis HaMikdash, from the time of temple destruction, Dinhu Shenigzor Al Atzmenu, Shelo Lechol Boser Velo Lishtos Yayin. By letter of the law, we probably should have ruled prohibition of eating meat and drinking wine. Hello, ein gozrin gzera la tzibur alim kein rov tzibur yichol ma'amod ba. But as we said earlier, we don't impose rulings and constraints on the public unless rov of the pug would be able to bear it. And for restricting them from meat and wine would be too much to handle. Umiyom sheposhto malchus arosha shegezeres aleinu gzeros rovs v'koshos. And from the time that the evil empire has spread over the world and they're in control of our communities and they make rulings that are evil and difficult, umevateles mimenu Torah umitzvus, and as a result of their rulings, they're preventing us from Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvus, ve'ein manachas osanu likones the Shvua Haben, Ve'amrila Li Yeshua Haben. And as a result of their evil rulings, they prevent us from practicing Shvua Ben, Brismila, and Yeshua Haben. Dinhu, Shenigzor Alatzmenu, Shalalisa Isha, Ulaholid Bonim. we probably should rule that people should not marry and hence not bear children. V'nimtzo zaro shel Avrom avinu kol me'evav. And as a result of that, the Jewish people would simply disappear without violating the Torah halachas as imposed by the Goyim. The main thing, and this is what the Rashbam emphasizes, if we would do this, we wouldn't be mevatel the mitzvahs. Elo hanach lohem liYisrael. But we're not going to impose this on them, namely to stop marrying. Mutov shiu shogigin val yu mazidin. Let them remain in a state of shogeg, namely in a state in violating. In other words, as a result of this, we are going to be in violation. We're going to be bearing children, not subjecting them to bris milah, to pidyon haben. In other words, we will be violating these mitzvahs, but we'll be doing it in a shogeg fashion, as opposed to imposing a ruling that they will not keep, and then be over b'mezid. Let's take a look at the Tosfos, and final one on this omid. Mutav shu shogegin vayu mezidin. This concept of let them continue being shogeg and not premeditated. B'davar she'ein yodua im yekablu kishe nimche bohen im lav. If there's a matter that one does not know whether his protestations will be effective, tzorich limchos, it's obligatory to chastise, to correct, to point out, to protest. Kinemuchach beperek bameh behema. The Omra midas hadin. In the Gemara in Shabbos, there's a story that's featured where the Midas Adin says to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Im lefonecha galui, if you know that the public won't listen, lifnehem mi galui, in front of the tzaddikim, the rabbonim who were expected to protest and didn't, is it clear to them that the public wouldn't accept? It's not 100% clear. Hence, they should have protested, and it says Venenshu and the rabbis were punished by remaining silent. Aval b'davar she'anu yodim b'birur shelo yikablu. If, however, you have a situation where you know with certainty that if you make such a particular ruling, they will not accept it, amrinan, then we say mutav shu shogegin, better that they should remain in a shogeg fashion and not be mazid. In other words, and not be in violation, premeditated violation of our ruling. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.